Good morning. Today is Friday, October 24th, 2025, and the time is 8:30. I now call this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. At this time, I'll conduct a roll check. Commissioner Rosie Morris, are you present?
Yes.
Commissioner David Osborne, are you present?
Present.
We have a quorum of the Audit Committee with three members present. If there is anyone wishing to address the Audit Committee, please fill out a witness affidavit form and bring it to the front. Public comments on non-agenda items are limited to 5 minutes, and agenda items also limited to 5 minutes. First order of business is the approval of the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on August 15th, 2025. These minutes were circulated to the members in the agenda packet. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on August 15th, 2025?
So moved, David Osborne.
Thank you, Commissioner Osborne.
Rosie Morris.
Commissioner Morris. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. We will now move on to item B. Commissioner Cooper, please give us your report.
Madam Chair, I'd like to ask the Executive Deputy Commissioner Wendy Rodriguez to give us the audit activity report.
Good morning, members. So the Department of Banking's audit activity report begins on page 7 of your packet. And the first item listed is a status update on a outstanding finding from the State Auditor's Office report on the SDSI dated June of 2025. As previously reported to the committee, this is an item related to the development of a more formalized process for tracking and monitoring of penalties. Our legal division has formulated and updated their policies and the procedures to oversee the penalty monitoring and department-wide, and to also verify payments that are received in accordance with an order that has a penalty or an administrative fee. Our IT division has finalized and the initial software enhancements, which are underway in testing at the moment and are intended to be deployed by the end of this month. Future enhancements will also include some reporting and email notification for proper communication. And that will be done by the end of the fiscal year, if not by the end of the calendar year. Next on the report, you'll see the August 15th, 2025 Comptroller of Public Accounts statewide desk audit for the commercial charge card rebate program. The report begins on page 8 of your packet. There were 98 agencies that were reviewed in this desk audit, and 89 of them, which did not meet the prompt payment requirement for paying the charge card on the 30th day. For the Department of Banking, the average days for payment from the reporting period was 32 days, which is from the statement period to payment date, with about a 5% reporting, I'm sorry, a 5% payment being made within the 30 days. The maximum rebates are based on the credit card balance on the third day of the month, which is a very, very short turnaround time in order to be able to do all of this. It's not really feasible, considering the amount of documentation that is needed to validate every single charge on these cards. So 32 days, we feel, is still kind of okay. We make every effort to pay the credit card timely and within the 30-day period. But again, making sure that we validate the charges, we feel, is very important. The report also addresses late payment interest, for which the department incurred a 30-cent charge for fiscal year 24. Again, shame on us. The next item listed is the Department of Information Resources, the Texas Cybersecurity Framework Assessment. This report was issued on October 2nd, and the details of the report will be provided to the committee in executive session later this morning. And finally, the department, along with our sister agencies, are also working and either have submitted or are finalizing our risk assessment questionnaires while Garza reviews those in preparation for our audit plan for 2026. Any questions? Okay, thank you. That concludes my report.
Okay. Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our report begins on page 25. Before I start that, I did want to mention that Wendy mentioned that there were 89 agencies included in that statewide desk audit, including the others, our agency, Department of Safety and Water Agency. Similar comments, there's probably nothing more we need to talk about on that. Otherwise, on our report on page 25, we also have a report from the Department of Information Resources and their vendor on web application vulnerability scan and control penetration test, and those results will be discussed in an executive session with the audit committee. We have an outstanding item related to the previous audit, internal audit related to the business licensing process, and we expect that to be implemented by December 31st. And then, as also mentioned, we're currently undergoing the risk assessment from our internal auditors, and that's all we have to report at the moment.
Thank you. Any questions? All right, Commissioner Reddick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our report begins on page 26. We'll make the same comment with respect to commercial charge card rebate program, the 3 days and the 30 days. I think we know what's practical there, so that's what we do as well, follow the same. We work always to do it within 30 days. On the first item, I had here at the State Auditor's Office, the self-directed semi-independent audit. That is complete follow-up that was requested in terms of having additional review of user access, and that was implemented as of August. Then on the next one, with respect to thrift examinations, Garza Gonzalez and Associates audit, we are working on documenting certain procedures that they pointed out, and that is to be completed by the end of the year. And then the last, it's in, as reported by the other agencies as well, the risk assessment is in progress. And that's the report.
Thank you. All right, item C is next. Commissioner Cooper.
The report starts on page 27 for the prepaid FEMA funds. We don't have any to report on page 28, but the trust funded prepaid funeral guarantee fund and quarterly investment report. It shows what I would call normal activity. As always, where the funds are maintained are listed there, ending up in a balance of $1,564,000. Then on page 29, we have the insurance funded prepaid guarantee fund. Again, normal activity, and we have a little over $1 million in that account. And that's our report.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to ask Director Moran Diamond to come forward and provide the report to the Office of Supercredit Commissioners.
Good morning. Thank you, Commissioner Pettijohn. The investment officer report for the OCCC starts on page 30 of your packet. You'll notice normal activity in the recovery fund, including a transfer of $1,750 in Q4. Moving to page 31, you'll also notice approximately $108,000 in a transfer to cover grant reimbursements in Q4. Overall, approximately $500,000 in growth throughout Q4, with $12.2 million in the portfolio at the end of the quarter.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Reddick.
Madam Chair, our report begins on page 32, and it shows the normal activity that we've had in here, with, of course, in the top portion showing the funds that have been earmarked for the mortgage grant program total. Of $5,402,000, and the detail on the investment in the overnight repurchase agreements. And then on the next page 33, the mortgage grant fund, this shows the existing balance of $103,000, and then we'll provide more detail in the mortgage grant fund report later in the meeting.
Thank you. And do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2025 fourth quarter investment officer reports?
So moved, President Harms.
Commissioner Morris, thank you.
Second, David Osborne.
Thank you, Commissioner Osborne. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. Moving on to item D, Commissioner Cooper.
And let Sammy Chadley come forward to give our financial report for the fourth quarter.
Good morning, Sammy Chadley, Department of Banking. On page 34 is the department's operating statement. So we have for the quarter, actual revenues are at 191.6% of budget and actual expenditures at 80% of the budget. Pages 35 and 36 detail various explanations for categories which were not within the thresholds. Over five categories. The first one is bank and trust regulation. The actual revenues were higher than budgeted due to a partial assessment in the fourth quarter. For FY25, the first three quarters were reduced by 20%. In the fourth quarter, the reduction was increased to 40%. Number two, non-depository supervision. The variance for the quarter is related to lower assessments collected due to the higher collection of penalties than were anticipated. Number three, penalties for non-depository supervision. The variance is due to the higher than anticipated collective penalties, primarily associated with regulatory non-compliance matters by money services businesses. Move on to the expenditure side. Employee compensation benefits, we had vacancies in terms of FTEs as of August 31st, 2025. We had 43, seven of them on the administrator side and 36 on the senator side. And the last item under information technology, positive variance is due to not needing to renew select software support and lower than anticipated Oracle cloud infrastructure costs. Page 37 is the liquidity report, which shows a 7 months of fund reserve.
Madam Chair, if I could back to comment, please. So I think possibly y'all would remember when we approved the budget for the coming year, for the year we're in now. At the beginning of the year, we told on the bank side, we tell them that it's anticipated that we will only need X amount of the assessment. So we told them we would need 80%. And so roughly each quarter, I think for the three quarters in 25, we forgave or didn't collect 25% each quarter. The fourth quarter is usually a leveling out quarter. So this time, instead of the forgiving the 25, like we did in the first three quarters, we forgave, as Sammy said, we forgave 40%. We could have forgiven more for our operations, but we were trying to maintain a higher cash level in order to be able to fund our building requirements. I think y'all remember that, and I just wanted to make a comment about it.
Okay. Any questions?
Thank you.
Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ask Director Moran Diamond to come forward unless Antonio would like to give our.
Thank you, Commissioner Pettijohn. Moran Diamond, Office of the Consumer Credit Commissioner. Okay, so the fourth quarter financial statement is on page 38 of your packet. I just wanted to highlight a few items from the variance on page 118. No, that would be on page 39. So overall revenues in fiscal year 25 for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner were at 98% of the budget. I did want to mention credit access industry, which through the last two quarters of the year remained slightly below the anticipated revenue collection due to lower renewal rates in December. Moving to expenditures, overall expenditures are at 102% of the budget. Just a couple of items there on professional fees, costs for legal and architectural costs throughout the three agencies were less than anticipated this year. And then miscellaneous operating costs continues particularly in Q4, that was significantly higher due to the statewide cost allocation program, which was significantly more than we had budgeted.
Okay,
Can I add one comment in there? So while it says expenditures are 102% of budget, as you will recall, that includes the land acquisition. And so we did install, we did provide a subtotal before that, so that if you remove that, which was paid from reserve funds, we were at 94% of our budget. So just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, thank you for that. Moving to the liquidity report on page 40. This is updated from the original version, just a notation on that. Total cash at the end of the period was 10.8 million with 3.4 months of operating costs available at the end of Q4. At all, unless there are any questions.
We would have expected that to be a little bit higher. I just did also want to echo Miranda mentioned it, but the statewide cost allocation, which increased the assessment that comes to us to cover overhead of statewide cost, was an 1,100% increase over what we had experienced historically and over what we had budgeted. So that was a pretty significant hit to our budget, which affected liquidity and our overall posture at the end of the year.
Middle of those surprises.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any questions? Thank you. Commissioner Renna.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Antonia Antop seems quite ready.
Very easy.
All right. Good morning, members. Antonia Antop, Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. Our report begins on page 41. Fourth quarter financials show 29.2% over budget in revenues, as I have explained in the variances, big portion of that excess is the multi-state settlement we received. That's just under 2 million. Without it, we would be 10.2% over the revenue budget. The expenditure side, we're at 97% of budget. And again, that includes the land we purchased. Without the purchase of the land, we would be at 90.7% of budget. So still pretty close. All the variances explained. The couple that I've mentioned before, but also would like to point out, we were over budget in professional services, and that included the charge from state auditor's office of $50,000 for the budget, for their audit. And our miscellaneous operating costs were over budget for the same reason that Office of Consumer Credit discussed the statewide cost allocation plan. And I will leave it at that unless you have any questions. Our liquidity report is on page 43. We ended the year with 8.4 months of reserves. This is typically our lowest quarter, the quarter where our reserves are the lowest. And we expected that, especially given the big settlement. And that's why we built in some deficiency in next year's budget to try to manage the cash balance. And these are all my remarks, unless you have questions.
Questions? All right, thank you.
Madam Chair, can I add one more thing?
Yes.
That I failed to mention, I'm sorry. On page 40 is the liquidity report that we talked about, and I didn't need to mention that there was an update to this from the initial submission. So if some of you pulled the report early, there was an error that we have corrected. So the current document in the package is correct. I do have some paper copy handouts if somebody needs a revised version of what's in the online packet, but I did want to make that we did correct that, and just for the record, make sure.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2025 fourth quarter financial statement?
So moved. David Osborne.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Rosie.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. Item E is next. Mr. Pinchon, please give us your report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Page, I would like to ask for Shayla Wilson to come forward. We're pleased to present to you the work of the Grant Advisory Committee, and Shayla's going to walk us through that to award grant funds for the next cycle. Shayla?
Thank you, Commissioner. Shayla Wilson, Texas Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner, and good morning, members. I'll be giving you an update on the TP activities, which begin on page 44 of your packet, and I will start with item E. The agency was pleased to receive over 55 applications for grant funding, and the Grant Advisory Committee met and reviewed these applications, which were all extremely competitive and offered wonderful solutions to boost financial literacy across the state. A special thank you to Rosie Morris and Laura Warren for your contribution and commitment to this effort. After careful deliberation, the GAC did select 10 grantees for the 2026 to 2027 cycle, and we do request $830,321.90 to fund all recommended awards. We have provided you with a handout that provides a more detailed description of each program than what appears in your packet. The selected award recipients demonstrate statewide geographic reach and represent all three TF categories, which are adult financial education and capability, financial coaching, and K through 12 financial education and capability. If you would please review the recipient recommendation list and conflict of interest form and provide your signature, we will collect those forms at the conclusion of today's meeting. Are there any questions about the nominations or activities?
Thank you for getting questions, anyone? Good. All right.
Yeah. I appreciate the work, Shayla and Christine Graham and the Grant Advisory Committee. It was gratifying to see the kind of response we got. I mean, it was really, to me, it was impressive, the response and the interest in the level of grants that we've received this year. So it was a very competitive cycle, and I know they worked really hard to come up with the best solution. It's nice to see, you know, we had a number of, you know, some new entities applying for funds, especially some higher education institutions and things such as that. So it was a good process.
Yeah, that was a good job. All right. Do I hear a motion to recommend the Finance Commission approve the final selection of organizations to receive grant funds from the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund?
So moved. Trustee Morris.
Thank you, Commissioner Morris.
Second, David Osborne.
Thank you, Commissioner Osborne. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. Moving on to item F, Commissioner Pinchon, please continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On item F, as we've been reflecting and reviewing the TF program and the demands on our office to administer that program. The program, as you know, the Finance Commission has made a concerted effort to award more funds associated with this. The funds, as well as the endowment itself, has grown in breadth and scope. And the cost to our agency of managing that program have also increased. And our agency has exclusively borne the cost of all of this since inception in 2013, 2014. And the Grant Advisory Committee has a provision in it. I mean, the manual has a provision in it that suggests that it would be appropriate for it authorizes the charging of certain costs of administration against the endowment fund for the administration management. Anyways, as the burden has grown and as the availability of funding has grown, we think it would be appropriate right now for the TF funds to support some of the cost of the administration and the management. And so staff would recommend that the direct cost associated with that, which includes 50% of the grant administrator's salary and related personnel costs, along with any direct operating costs associated with that, should be reimbursed to the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner from the fund. We think that aligns the program more directly, that should pay for itself. We're all about trying to make sure different groups are carrying their fair share. I'm having a lot of conversations about that with industry trade groups, but I think teachers should bear its fair share as well. So we would recommend that the commission, the audit committee recommend that the finance commission approve the reimbursement of those costs to the agency.
All right. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the finance commission approve charging certain expenses against the Texas Financial Education Endowment for grant administration and management?
So moved, David Osborne.
Second, Rosie Morris.
Commissioner Morris, thank you. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. I've been informed that there will not be a vote for item G. Is that correct, Commissioner Pettijohn?
That's correct, but let's, may we have Trishayla just give us a brief report on item G?
Absolutely.
Report only. Trishayla.
Thank you. The third semi-annual cycle ended on July 30th, and that report summary will be in next meeting's packet. We have reimbursed $403,979.45 to date, and the fourth and final semi-annual reimbursement requests are due on January 30th. If there are no questions, this concludes my report.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We'll now move on to item H. Commissioner Reda.
Yes, this is the activities of the mortgage grant fund on page 46, I believe it is. And in here, it's a short report, but it does note that the first semi-annual reporting period has concluded and that we dispersed approximately $145,000. And we still have about 80% left for the 2025-2026 grant period that remains available for distribution. The second paragraph, I think, reflects the impact in terms of the number of individuals, 3,500 individuals across Texas who benefited from this program, and 500 families receiving one-on-one counseling, and at least 92 families purchasing homes. The education efforts themselves reached over 1,000 participants. So the last sentence really says that, well, we remain on course as we move into the second half of the first year of the grant cycle. And that's the report.
Thank you, Commissioner Reda. The Texas Department of Banking and the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner will need to discuss item I in executive session. It is 8:57 a.m. on October 24th, 2025. At this time, the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission will go into closed session pursuant to Government Code Sections 551.076 and 551.089. For the record, in attendance for the first part of the executive session will be Department of Banking Commissioner Charles Cooper, Deputy Commissioner Wendy Rodriguez, General Counsel Robert Nichols, and Information Security Officer Daniel Drum. In attendance for the second part of the executive session will be OCCC Commissioner Leslie Pettijohn and General Counsel Matt Nance. Assistant Attorney General Mark Nkoic from the Attorney General's Office will be in attendance for the entire executive session. We anticipate the executive session to last approximately 15 to 20 minutes for each agency. Commissioners, is this correct?
Correct.
The executive session will be held in the conference room and the aforementioned staff will attend accordingly. All right, it is 9:32 a.m. on October 24th, 2025, and the commission committee is now back in open session. No action was taken in the closed session. There being no further business, this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas is now adjourned, and the time is 9:32.